and welcome to BuzzHub's Front Seat Cinema, episode 37. It is our final episode of the summer, our final weekly episode of the year when I do my weekly summer schedule between June and August. That is over for this year, and we're now going to revert back to the slightly less regular schedule where I release an episode, well, every few weeks. With reviews and news and box office results. So this is our final weekly episode of the summer. It is quite sad. Not really. It's been a pretty good summer for films. There's been a few very good films. We've had films like Edge of Tomorrow, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Boyhood. But then we've also had films like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers Age of Extinction. I'm going to begin today's show with some of the biggest film and TV news since our last episode. Our last episode was recorded on August 20th, so it's just a few days worth of news. So, David Yates, he directed Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. And I was not a fan of Deathly Hallows, or I was not a fan of Order of the Phoenix when it came out. Like, I was a pretty big Harry Potter fan. I am quite a big Harry Potter fan. I did not like the Order of the Phoenix film very much. It is still my least favorite of the Harry Potter films. But I think that Yates, as a director, really redeemed himself with the final three films, all of which are, in my opinion, really, really excellent. Well, anyway, as we all know, Warner Brothers and J.K. Rowling are currently in the works on this Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them film. It's sort of a prequel to the Harry Potter series. J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, is writing the script. It is her screenwriting debut, and Warner Brothers are making the film. It is set for, the first film set for Thanksgiving 2016, and there are rumored sequel dates that Warner Brothers set for 2018 and 2020, also Thanksgiving. Well, anyway, we had this rumor about 6 months ago that Alfonso Cuarón, who directed one of the earlier Harry Potter films, Prisoner of Azkaban, we had a rumor that he was going to be directing this Fantastic Beasts film. He, of course, made Gravity, Children of Men. And that was very, very exciting news because he's an excellent director. But then he came out and said he wasn't going to direct the film. Well, it looks now as if David Yates might actually be doing it. There was a big story, which I believe The Hollywood Reporter or Variety, one of those websites, was reporting that David Yates is in heavy talks with Warner Brothers to direct the film. In terms of how I feel about this, I think it's a very safe choice. I think he hasn't really found any success since the Harry Potter films. I suppose he hasn't really tried to. They only ended three and a half years ago. But he's currently in production on this Tarzan film with Alexander Skarsgård and Margot Robbie, but he would be a very safe choice. As I said, I think he did a good job with the last three films. He's certainly not a particularly unique, he doesn't have a very unique style as a director, like Alfonso Cuarón does. So I think they could definitely find someone more interesting, but it could definitely be worse, and I think he will do a perfectly fine job with this film. So, some other news. Sandra Bullock is going to star in David Gordon Green's new film, Our Brand in is Crisis. Rachel Dratch, the Saturday Night Live alum, has joined season 7, the final season of Parks and Recreation. Damon Lindelof is going to write a Phineas and Ferb episode, which is all going to be basically parodying or slash paying tribute to Lost, and it's going to guest star Terry O'Quinn, the star of Lost. I love Lost. Damon Lindelof is great. He's currently doing The Leftovers on HBO, which I'll mention in just a moment. Terry O'Quinn is great. So yeah, Phineas and Ferb, not something I can say I watch on a particularly regular basis, but it's a very, very well-made cartoon, so yeah. Quentin Tarantino, his next film is called The Hateful Eight, and he put it on the back burner for a while, but now he is going into pre-production on it, and he debuted a teaser trailer last week with Sin City, A Dame to Kill For in cinemas, and it was leaked online, and it's, since he hasn't even cast the film yet, it is void of footage. It is really just a lot of names of characters. It's just a lot of text, fancy graphics, the names of the characters, descriptions of characters floating across the screen. I wouldn't even say it's worth watching. It's not worth your time. It's 2 minutes long and there's nothing in it. So last night, there was some sad news. We lost another filmmaking. Of course, I talked in the last episode about the deaths of Robin Williams and Lauren Bacall, but now Richard Attenborough, the iconic and inspirational actor and director, he died at the age of 90 this weekend. Very sad. He was in some great films as an actor, and he directed some great films. He directed Gandhi, of course, and I think his, to a certain generation, his most famous acting role will probably be in Jurassic Park. But he's a brother of David Attenborough, the TV presenter, and he was 90, and he died yesterday. I'm going to move on now to the box office results for the weekend. After settling for second place behind Paramount's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for 2 weeks, Marvel Studios' Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn, moved back into first place with a fourth weekend take of $17.6 million, down just 30% from last weekend. With a total domestic gross of $251.9 million in just 4 weeks, it has become the highest-grossing movie of the summer domestically, passing Transformers with $243.4 million and Maleficent with $237 million. As suggested last week, it's not going to be hard for Guardians to surpass what is currently the year's highest-grossing movie, Captain America: The Winter Soldier. This is domestically. Transformers is the highest-grossing movie of the year internationally, or worldwide. Guardians is not only the highest-opening August movie of all time, but also the second-highest-grossing movie to open in August, behind M. Night Shyamalan's The Sixth Sense, with $293 million. Expect Guardians to cross Captain America's gross sometime in the coming week, as it goes for the elusive $300 million milestone that no movie this year has managed to cross. The Michael Bay-produced revamp of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I reviewed in the last episode, swapped places to take second place after 2 weekends at number one with a weekend take of $16.8 million, down 41%, and a domestic total of $145.6 million. The adaptation of Gail Forman's novel If I Stay, starring Chloe Grace Moretz, did the best of the three new movies, taking third place for the weekend with $16.4 million after opening on Friday with $6.8 million. Last week's top new movie, the appropriately named pseudo-police comedy Let's Be Cops, starring Damon Wayans Jr. and Jake Johnson, dropped to fourth place with $11 million. In fifth place came the new release football drama When the Game Stands Tall, starring Jim Caviezel and Laura Dern. It might be a tight race for sixth place, but from the estimates that I have here in front of me, the Lois Lowry adaptation The Giver, starring Jeff Bridges and Meryl Streep, is estimated to take that slot with $6.8 million. The star-studded action threequel The Expendables 3 fell in its second weekend by 58% to take 7th place. And in 8th place is the other of the new releases, and undoubtedly the highest profile new release amongst the, you know, film fan community and in Hollywood, and that was Frank Miller's Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For 3D. It's a long title, I'm sure it's a long film, it did very poorly at the box office. So Sin City came out 2005. And it was this noir kind of comic book film, and people really liked it, and it did quite well at the box office. And for some perspective, here's a fact. The original Sin City in 2005 made twice as much on its opening day in 2005 as Sin City 2 made in its entire opening weekend this past weekend. So that says a lot. And Sin City 2 arguably has more stars in it. It has this film, right? So it's directed by Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez, and it has Mickey Rourke, Jessica Alba, Bruce Willis, Rosario Dawson, Josh Brolin, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Eva Green, Jeremy Piven, and more. I mean, you could argue that maybe apart from Joseph Gordon-Levitt, none of those people are actually currently bankable Hollywood stars. I think Mickey Rourke, Bruce Willis, Jessica Alba, their days are kind of over as, you know, bankable stars. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt is doing quite well in his career. But anyway, it opened in 8th place with just $6.5 million for a pitiful showing. And that's very bad news for the filmmakers. And I seriously doubt we're going to see a Sin City 3 ever now. So, ironically, the movie got slightly better reviews than If I Stay and way better reviews than When the Game Stands Tall. So I haven't seen Sin City 2 yet, but I will see it soon, hopefully, and I will review it for you on the next episode, whenever that may be, or maybe the episode after that. Who knows? Probably the next episode I'll review Sin City: A Day to Kill For. But I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it's any good or not. Helen Mirren's popular film, The 100-Yard Journey, was in 9th place, and Into the Storm was in 10th place. So, that is good. That is the box office results for the weekend. In terms of what films I've seen that I can review this week, I saw Lucy, which I realise was released quite a while ago in the United States, but it was released just this past weekend in my native Ireland and in the UK, so I darted along to see it. And this is an interesting film. It's Luc Besson directed, Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman star. It is part conventional action film and part kind of strange existential kind of drama in the style of Terrence Malick or something. Like, so a lot of it is Scarlett Johansson going around shooting people. Yeah, that's fun. But then at the end you have this, it's hard to talk about Lucy without spoiling it, but at the end you just have this strange few scenes where her character gets involved in some very kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, some very, very surreal cinematic moments. And it is an interesting film. It is a film that is perhaps worth watching for its uniqueness. It is only 80 minutes long, really, so it's not that much of an ask to sit down and watch it. But it's certainly not a particularly good film, and I think Luc Besson is not a great filmmaker, certainly not anymore, and I think this is not a particularly strong piece of work. But it is sort of worth watching. The other film I saw this weekend was this film called Hector and the Search for Happiness. Now, it's not out in the US for a few weeks, but it's out here. It stars Simon Pegg, Rosamund Pike, and a few others, and it is, it's not very good. It's sort of like a watered-down version of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, the Ben Stiller film, which I wasn't a big fan of. Thought it was just like a two-hour Super Bowl ad. If you thought that Walter Mitty was a two-hour Super Bowl ad, wait till you see Hector and the Search for Happiness. It is an offense to the Super Bowl to call this film a Super Bowl ad, because this would never be allowed to be shown during the Super Bowl were it an ad, because it's just that low in quality. Simon Pegg, an actor I really, really like, and I'm always able to relate to in films. He plays really likable characters. He plays a very, very unlikable character here, a man who sleeps with a woman and later finds out she's a prostitute, and when she is being beaten by a pimp, he writes down in a notebook, sometimes the key to happiness is not knowing the full story, and turns around and walks off. And we're supposed to sympathize with him and think this is perfectly fine and this is some great advice and he's writing a great self-help book. So this is not a good film at all. I did not like its politics. I did not like its morals. It is not enjoyable. It is not funny. It is not intense. It is not moving. It is a complete failure of a film. It doesn't know what it's doing. And the fact that it was financed by approximately 65 different companies from around the world, none of which a major Hollywood studio, may I add, says a lot about the fact that nobody really wanted to make this, but a few people chipped in and made small donations, and eventually they were able to get it off the ground. It's from the director. He's made two notable films, those films being three notable films. He made Serendipity with John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale, which is an okay romantic comedy. Then he made Shall We Dance with Richard Gere, which is a terrible film. And then he made Hannah Montana the movie. So you can tell what his range of films is. And, well, this is his latest film, Hector and the Search for Happiness. Do not pay to see this film. In fact, you should be paid to see it because it's an ad. For cameras and all sorts of things. It's full of product placement as well. So I saw Lucy, I saw Hector. I don't think I've seen any other new releases since our last episode, no. So I'm going to talk for just a minute about HBO. HBO have their cycle where they do 5 blocks of 10-episode shows a year. So this year we have True Detective, starts in January. Game of Thrones starts in April. True Blood and The Leftovers start in June, Boardwalk Empire starts in September, and The Newsroom is going to start in November. So True Blood ended last night. It completely ended. The show is over. True Blood has been on for countless years. I have I can't even remember a time when True Blood wasn't on, but it is finally over. I have never seen 1 minute of True Blood, and I never want to. It looks like a terrible program. Anna Paquin, Stephen Moyer. Oh God, I could never bear to watch an episode of True Blood. It's a hammy show. Terrible acting, and the writing from the clips I've seen always just seems really lazily written. But anyway, True Blood, it's over now. Thank God. The Leftovers, there's one episode left in the season. This week's episode, the penultimate episode of the season, was fantastic. It was really, really great. It was a flashback episode. The Leftovers just gets better and better. It's a really good show. Damon Lindelof is behind that. But anyway, that is ending next week. During the True Blood finale last night, HBO debuted a couple of trailers. They debuted a trailer for Boardwalk Empire and for the final season of The Newsroom. Now, The Newsroom, this is Aaron Sorkin's show. It's been on HBO for, well, it's been on for 2 seasons already. The third season's coming up in November, but it is a very underrated program. I absolutely love it. I think it's really, really great. It's up there with Sorkin's Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was another short-lived show. But The Newsroom hasn't been really popular with the critics or in the ratings, which is why it is going to... And Aaron Sorkin seems to be a bit dubious about continuing it past the third series, let's say. So he wants to finish it after the third series, so that's coming on in November. But they released a short teaser for it. Doesn't have any footage, but it is very, very interesting. It's very short. You can find it on BuzzHub now. So the other big TV thing going on at the moment is, of course, the Emmy Awards. They're on tonight. They're on just a few hours from when I am recording and when you will be listening to this episode, maybe after the Emmys are on. But anyway, so today on BuzzHub, we have our BuzzHub's Emmy predictions. So I should read to you some of our predictions. So for drama series, we said Breaking Bad should win. True Detective could win, but Breaking Bad will win. I think Breaking Bad is the deserved winner, most deserved nominee to win. I hope it wins. Comedy series. So we decided that for should win, instead of Modern Family, instead of Veep, which are shows we like, we put down Silicon Valley, because I think Silicon Valley is a very, very strong show. And The Big Bang Theory is nominated for comedy series, and Silicon Valley is like, is the show that The Big Bang Theory would want to be if it, you know, when it grows up. The Big Bang Theory is a very, very mediocre and broad, you know, broad in its humor network show, and Silicon Valley is a very, very clever and witty and charming HBO series, but it is similar in its characters and in its story to The Big Bang Theory, but I think it's far, far superior in its writing and in its acting. And I think Silicon Valley, in its first series, does deserve this award. And we said Orange is the New Black could win, but Modern Family will win, because Modern Family has won the last 4 years in a row. But I think very, very close. I think Orange is the New Black has a very, very strong chance of winning. So for lead actor in a drama, we said Bryan Cranston should win, and Bryan Cranston could win, but Matthew McConaughey will win. For lead actress in a drama, we said Robin Wright should win, Kerry Washington could win, Robin Wright will win. Lead actor in a comedy, we said Louis C.K. should win, Louis C.K. could win, but Jim Parsons will win. That's Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory. Lead actress in a comedy, we said Amy Poehler should win for Parks and Recreation, a wonderful show. Julia Louis-Dreyfus could win, but Taylor Schilling will win for Orange is the New Black. For miniseries and TV movie, we said Fargo should win Best Miniseries, and Sherlock, His Last Vow, should win TV movie. We said American Horror Story Coven could win, and Sherlock could win, but Fargo will win, and The Normal Heart will win Best TV movie. Fargo, fantastic series. There's a bit more of that coming up now, because for lead actor in a miniseries, we said Billy Bob Thornton should win, and will win, but Martin Freeman, his co-star on Fargo, could win. For lead actress in a miniseries, with Sarah Paulson should win. Sarah Paulson could win, but Jessica Lange will win. For supporting actor in a drama, Aaron Paul should win. Peter Dinklage could win, but Aaron Paul will win. For supporting actress in a drama, Anna Gunn should win. Maggie Smith could win, but Anna Gunn will win. For supporting actor in a comedy, should win. Ty Burrell could win. Andre Brower for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but Tony Hale will win for Veep. For supporting actress in a comedy, we said Julie Bowen should win, Kate Mulgrew could win, but Julie Bowen will win. Supporting actress in a miniseries, Colin Hanks for Fargo, we said he should win and will win, but Matt Bomer could win for The Normal Heart, the TV movie. For best supporting actress in a TV series or a TV a movie or miniseries, we said Alison Tolman for Fargo should win and could win, but Julia Roberts will win for The Normal Heart. So those are our Emmy predictions for the top categories. I big fan of Fargo, big fan of Breaking Bad. big fan of Silicon Valley. Hope that they all win. Veep as well. Excellent show. And Modern Family, I've always been a fan. I think Ty Burrell is superb. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, really excellent as well on there. But I think Ty Burrell's great, and I think he should win every award. So he won the Screen Actors Guild Award this year, but Modern Family, not as good as it used to be. Certainly, it is. This last season was the most inferior season yet. So that is it for this episode and for this summer of podcasting. Thank you for listening and downloading and tuning into every episode since the end of May. It has been a pleasure to do this for you every week, and I look forward to doing it again next summer. And I shall continue to do episodes occasionally during the winter. Make sure to download my other podcast, The Jimmy and Luke Show, every week starting at the beginning of September. We'll do one every week. It'll be great fun. Go to jimmyandluke.info. Remember, you can visit buzzhub.info every single week for all the latest film and TV news and to get the latest episodes of Front Seat Cinema. I'll be back in a few weeks. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.